Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you, and I'm joined again by my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Morning.
We're so happy to be back with you, mighty companion, and we appreciate you tuning in and hanging out with us and traveling with us through this amazing work of our brother Jesus, this Course in Miracles. It's changing the world, and it's certainly changed our lives, and so we're more than happy to share our experiences with you and the teaching and how it's impacted us in our lives. So if you hang around with us after we read the lesson, we'll have some commentary to that effect. We're going to be discussing lesson 101 today. God's will for me is perfect happiness. And so let's join together for a brief moment of silence and come together in consciousness before we have a continuation of our discussion today. Let's take a good deep breath. God's will for me is perfect happiness.
Today, we will continue with the theme of happiness. This is a key idea in understanding what salvation means. You still believe it asks for suffering as penance for your sins. This is not so. Yet, you must think it's so while you believe that sin is real and that God's Son can sin. If sin is real, then punishment is just and cannot be escaped. Salvation, thus, cannot be purchased but through suffering.
If sin is real, then happiness must be illusion, for they cannot both be true. The sinful warrant only death and pain, and it is this they ask for they know it waits for them, and it will seek them out and find them wherever, somewhere, sometime, in some form, which evens the account they owe to God. They would escape him in their fear, and yet he would pursue, and they cannot escape.
If sin is real, salvation must be pain. Pain is the cost of sin, and suffering can never be escaped if sin is real. Salvation must be feared, for it will kill, but slowly, taking everything away before it grants the welcome boon of death to victims who are little more than bodies before salvation is appeased. Its wrath is boundless, merciless, but wholly just.
Who would seek out such savage punishment? Who would not flee salvation and attempt in every way he can to drown the voice which offers it to him? Why would he try to listen and accept its offering? If sin is real, its offering is death, and meted out in cruel form to match the vicious wishes in which sin is born. If sin is real, salvation has become your bitter enemy, the curse of God upon you who have crucified his Son.
You need the practice periods today. The exercises teach sin is not real, and all that you believe must come from sin will never happen, for it has no cause. Accept atonement with an open mind, which cherishes no lingering belief that you have made a devil of God's Son.
There is no sin. We practice with this thought as often as we can today because it is the basis for today's idea. God's will for you is perfect happiness because there is no sin, and suffering is causeless. Joy is just, and pain is but the sign you have misunderstood yourself.
Fear not the will of God, but turn to it in confidence that it will set you free from all the consequences sin has wrought in feverish imagination. Say, God's will for me is perfect happiness. There is no sin. It has no consequence.
You should start your practice periods and then attempt again to find the joy these thoughts will introduce into your mind. Give these 5 minutes gladly to remove the heavy load you laid upon yourself with the insane belief that sin is real.
Today, escape from madness. You are set on freedom's road, and now today's idea brings wings to speed you on and hope to go still faster to the waiting goal of peace. There is no sin. Remember this today and tell yourself as often as you can, God's will for me is perfect happiness. This is the truth because there is no sin.
And so it is. God's will for me is perfect happiness. Let's join together for another brief moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath. I love these lessons, you know, since we started with lesson 90, because we've laid a foundation now that we can continue to build on, that God guarantees our sinlessness, and that this is just, you know, anything other than the truth is illusion. It has no reality for us. And even in this lesson, he's saying, you know, fear not the will of God, but turn to it in confidence that it'll set you free from all consequences sin has wrought in feverish imagination. So it points to this simple truth that we are as God created us to be. I believe that was lesson 94. And the point is, you're perfect. And you've heard us say that before. You're perfect. I am as God created me to be. I am as God created me. We're neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. What God created is perfect joy, perfect love. We are spirit. And there's no pain and there's no suffering in that. That's impossible. What God has created is not what we have made in this silly, tiny man idea, this game of separation. And so as we continue to strengthen and reprogram our conditioning in this world and the ego mind, we begin to breathe easier. We begin to become more and more free. We begin to clear the chakras so that love can begin to flow through us and begin to be expressed as us in this experience. And yesterday, you know, that after the lesson yesterday, my intent was to be happy all day long. And this lesson is the same. These, you know, you're getting, this is a get out of jail free card here. Mm. There's no sin. I remember one time I was at a coffee shop and there were a group of young men who had gathered together and they were doing a little Bible study. And I was sitting very close to them and I could not avoid listening to their conversation. And I leaned over as they took a little break for a moment. I leaned over to this one man. I said, you know, there is no sin. Actually, God guarantees your sinlessness. He's like, how could you say that? You know, how could, and they really got into a debate with me about, you know, how could the world, you know, be, how could we operate with each other if sin wasn't real, you know, because that's a, if punishment isn't real, then how could we be protected from each other. Mm-hmm. It's a protection. And it is a protection to maintain the illusory concept of the ego that we must be protected from our brothers and sisters. That's a lie. That sin is real. Of course, that's a lie. That God is going to judge us in the final day of judgment after death. And so here he talks about how it brings about the whole concept of death. Was a construct around the idea of guilt, you know, and brought to its extreme end and replayed again and again and again is death. And there is no death because you can't die. And there is no, because there's no sin. There's nothing, there's no judgment awaiting you. If anything, there's the realization that there is no judgment. You know, I mean, ultimately, that's what we come to, is there's no judgment of self by spirit. And so why are we engaging in it here? And so yesterday's lesson, you know, and today's lesson, God's will for me is perfect happiness. And my part is essential to God's plan for salvation is for me to realize that I need to simply quit judging everything to be happy and allow God to be just as God is. And God is allowing everything to be as it is while it's being brought to truth. So illusion is being brought to truth. And that's what A Course in Miracles is about. It's about bringing illusion to truth. And I'm so happy that I found this. Truth and this discovery has changed my life. And I feel like it's brought miracles into my life in so many ways. And I'm so blessed by it. And so it is a wonderful place to be in this level of the workbook, because now we're really opening up and beginning to see how beautiful the Course in Miracles really is.
The lie of sin and that we're sinners is the big lie that I was indoctrinated with in my upbringing and through the Catholic teaching that I was exposed to and the message that I took away from it. And it is something that through the study and the practice of A Course in Miracles in my life is still uprooting the shards of my belief in sin and sinfulness and guilt and punishment to this day. And I consider myself to be, you know, somebody who's done a lot of work and a lot of study. And as I continue in A Course in Miracles, I can still find the shards of that operating in my life. And so I said a couple lessons ago about the idea that when I teach a class, you choose to accept the breaking. Everyone who is listening to accept this, accept that, accept your sinlessness. And if you say to the self, well, I don't really operate in that much, we are collectively making a world, and the world that that we see being pictured back to us absolutely believes in sin, absolutely believes in punishment, absolutely believes in never letting anybody off the hook. You know what a caricature is, right? A caricature is that drawing that you get when you go to the carnival, and it exaggerates certain aspects of features on a face, and it's fun. Well, we have a caricature out there called the mainstream media right now. And one of the caricatures that is playing out is this thing called cancel culture, where we uproot and find one discretion of a person and then make them pay and suffer and call them guilty and
crucify him.
Crucify them. And basically, you know, even an apology doesn't satisfy. An apology doesn't satisfy. There's no end to it. Nobody is ever off the hook.
There's no forgiveness.
There's no forgiveness. And so if you don't identify with sin within your own being, look out in the world and see how we hold brothers and sisters as sinful, and even their apology is not enough, and that their whole life has to be ruined because of an indiscretion, either current or from their past. It's insanity. And
often done, and sometimes done anyway,
in the name of justice.
In the name of joy and fun. I mean, that what is called an indiscretion is just people playing.
Right. Well, I don't know about that, but it could be called simply this, perhaps a mistake.
Yes.
Perhaps a lapse in judgment, perhaps, you know, but a mistake nonetheless. And that's all that we're being asked to do. That in my humanness, am I perfect? No, I make mistakes, but that doesn't make me a sinner.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that I must be punished forever. And that all aspects of my life must be, you know. So anyway, I use that as an example because it came up in something I was watching yesterday where somebody did something and it's like even an apology wasn't enough. And the person was just you know, dragged through it. And so that to me is the big caricature of what we talk about in A Course in Miracles, about the cycle of fear and guilt and then attack and then punishment and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. And the ticket out of this is to realize it's not real, is to realize what is being taught here is that God's not doing that. We're doing that to each other.
Yeah.
And we're doing it to each other because actually it lives within us.
Yeah.
And the first guilt is the separation from our brothers and sisters and from Creator. And so this becomes the ticket to help us to release. You said, you know, the get out of jail free card. And the question becomes, do you want it? Do you desire that? Do you really, truly desire your happiness? And if the answer is yes, then we just simply practice these lessons. We begin to recondition that which has been conditioned into us. And as we do so, we return to our nature, which is happiness, which is joyfulness.
Absolutely.
And which is actually God's will for us. It is actually God's will. So sin, it's kind of like the idea of in the Matrix where the enlightened children are bending the spoons, you know, these metal spoons. And somebody asks, you know, how can you do that? And it's because there is no spoon. You know, there is no sin. There is no sin. It's not real. It never was. And therefore, what never was has no consequence. And A Course in Miracles, in the text, it talks about laughing, bringing all of your cares and concerns to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit revealing to you perhaps a mistake and laughing at it, taking it lightly because it's okay, because you didn't sin and a sin has no consequence. A mistake you can kind of shrug off and move on. And so today we get to continue to move forward, to intend our happiness because we are free, because there is no sin. We are not sinners. We have been absolved of sin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I absolve you of all sin. You know, that's what I used to go to confession for, and I never bought it. I never believed it. You know, so hopefully I go through all this life to get to this point where I can actually believe it about myself. About myself. I am free.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true. I mean, as soon as we quit judging ourselves, we are free. And we can know we're doing that when we're judging anybody in the world.
I got a hot flash over all that. I'm having a hot flash. I just hope that, you know, wasn't too heavy for a conversation about God's will for me is perfect happiness. But I think that we have to really talk about the sin thing in order to, you know, get to that happiness.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
We have to see the ego in contrast to truth to be able to know when the ego in its wily ways is slipping up on
right,
this, you know.
Right. And they out there don't get to be sinners and you not. If we're judging our brother and sister as you know, having sinned, we must do that for ourselves. We're either all guilty
or we're all perfect.
We're all innocent and perfect.
Yes.
It can't be, otherwise we're perpetuating a separation that isn't there. So,
And the truth is, we're all perfect. So we can let go innocent. Of all of those constructs. And it's just, it's so unloving to withhold forgiveness. Because who has not made a mistake? No one. There is no one who has not made a mistake. So those are all projections. We can see that. And we're not going to judge them either for what they're doing. Ours is to be the witness and the messenger and the example of love, and forgive them. They know not what they do.
And when we do that, we forgive ourselves because, hey, we don't know what we do either.
Exactly. Because we're still falling into those conditioned patterns.
Yeah.
But the ego is beginning. Have you noticed? Lesson 101, you're far off long enough here that the ego is beginning to lose its grip in your life. And then that's when we become this messenger of truth. And we allow, by joining with Spirit, ourselves then to be the expression of love. Mm-hmm. And no matter what somebody thinks about us or doesn't, we can laugh it off. Because mm-hmm. cancer culture has no power unless we give it to them by believing that they have power. Mm-hmm. They have nothing. God is power. God is truth. Love is power. Love is truth. So we do get out of jail free as soon as we accept our God-given truth, our God-given right, our God-given power. We're perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. And no cancel culture can cancel what God has created. No cancel culture can cancel the truth of what we are as God has created us to be. And so it is.
And so it is.
God's will for me is perfect happiness. Let's be happy today and have fun. God bless you for being with us, Mighty Companion. You are dearly loved.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send